All right, you guys are here. Yeah, God created you. He created you to do something. And I'm excited. This is the fourth week of our Servolution, right? Anybody with me? Going to your home group, watching me on video. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you got a wonderful teacher? Looks handsome and, yeah. Yeah, who? Thanks. We're having such a good time. I pray you're enjoying it as much as I am, because I think it's a great challenge for us as a church to serve, to be part of what God wants to do in our community, in our family, maybe in our school, maybe in our neighborhood, that God wants us to be a part of something special. How many here want to be part of something bigger than yourselves? Something bigger than what you could ever dream of accomplishing? And that happens when you become a part of what God is doing. You become that hands and feet of God, and you get to see God move, and you get to see God work. But see, there's a problem. Here's the thing as a church, and where the church has its battles, because we're so argumentative in this. We live in a politically correct society, right? Don't we think there's a lot of political correctness going on around us? And it makes it hard for the church, and it's trying to pigeonhole the church and attack the church. And sometimes I think they have a validity to their argument. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I believe God created this world from nothing. Zip, zilch, zero. All right? I believe God created this world. You know, I believe Moses split the Red Sea and walked across dry land and led 2 million people across that dry land. I believe we're going to celebrate next month a birth of a virgin when Mary gave birth to Jesus. I believe all that. I can argue that. I can set out proof. And I like reading archaeology books and reading science and seeing how they try to explain some of these. And it's really fun. You know, I love the one on the Red Sea. The one on the Red Sea to me is really a fun one they try to explain, because they can say, you know, that they really didn't cross where the water was deep. It was the Reed Sea. And God sent a big one. And they show science has shown how they could blow the water back. And then Israel could walk across. They've showed how science could do that. But what's amazing to me, if it takes that 2 inches of water, and then you drowned a whole army of Egyptians in it, there's still a miracle going on somewhere. You know? And I can argue all that. But I want to tell you something. I don't think people want to hear our arguments. They want to see our love. You know, I think the world's tired of hearing us argue and defend, you know, all that apologetics, and I enjoy that, and I can lay out all those proofs. But I believe what the world wants to see is our love. They want to see those good deeds. They want to see a faith that's real and not a faith that argues. And so I have this little problem here for us. We say we love everyone, but we haven't shown anyone that we love them. See, it's easy to say, I love. I love everyone. I do. I love everyone. You know, there's even some people that are hard to love that I love. Anybody in that boat? Yeah. You got some people that are hard to love and you're still going to love. Yeah, that's going to be a hard one, but I'm going to, you know, I'll grit my teeth and I'll love them. Yeah. Because it's easy to say that, because we can say I love everyone and not love anyone. Is that true? You know, I love everyone, but I end up not loving anyone. Not demonstrating, not showing, not being a part of that love. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is we know the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. We know the truth. Jesus was born of a virgin. We know the truth. That salvation comes through Jesus. We know the truth. But now we need to prove it. And see, for so long, we thought the proof was in our righteousness. That I live right, I make the right decisions, I make wise decisions, you know. I don't go around with a foul mouth, you know. I'm not hopping from one bed to another bed with women or guys, you know. We think that's what shows, and what I want to challenge us with is really what shows it is our good deeds. That I think the church needs to go back to good deeds. How many here remember? Now, some of you are new. You guys, for those who are new, and this is your first service during this, you guys are excused, okay? You guys have an excuse. The rest of you have no excuse, all right? We memorize a verse in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. All right, I hear 40. I hear a little bit of 45. I didn't hear a lot of 45. So let's see if we got this verse. Are you guys ready? Anybody? Remember? Reference, verse, reference, right? Now, I want to hear you. I'm going to stop, and we'll start all over. All right? You who are here for your first time, you're excused. Put the pressure on those that are sitting by you. See if they do it, all right? It is, right? You guys ready? 1, 2, 3. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. All right, I seen lips moving. I didn't hear much, but I seen lips moving. Yeah. Yeah, I seen those lips. Because that's what God wants. Jesus came not to serve. See, I think the church has missed this element of service. And there's a beautiful picture that Jesus paints. That Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark again. And I just kind of want us to look at this story here. And I always have a hard time calling these stories because it's a story. Well, it may be true and it might not be true. Well, I want to tell you, this is an event that happened in Jesus' life. This is an event that happened in the town of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is, it's really interesting. If you read your Bible, and I've studied Bible for a long time. I didn't think much about it. But, you know, most of Jesus' ministry was done up north in a town called Capernaum and up around the Sea of Galilee. If you've been doing our study, you notice almost everything's happened around that Sea of Galilee. You know, sailing across back and forth and all the events that were going on, feeding the 5,000 and all that's happened around that Sea of Galilee. Well, there's a town kind of on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. A very popular town, a very populated town. And one day Jesus goes to that town. And as he's going to that town, he arrives in that town and the news travels fast. I kind of wondered how that happened. You know, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have, now I want to make sure, is Twitter? Did I get it right? All right. Twitter, they didn't have LinkedIn. They didn't have all these kind of things to send out information. But Jesus was in town and the house was packed, is what the scripture says. Jesus came to town and everybody knew. I mean, they're talking about this house being full of people. People standing outside the door trying to get in, trying to listen from outside. People hanging around the window so they could hear the stories, hear Jesus teaching. We don't know whose house it is, but just to give you information, Peter lives there. That could be Peter's house. They're not sure. Peter's mother-in-law is from that town and lives in that town. Peter, James, and John, they think all might have lived in that town. We don't know whose house it was. But here's this house packed full of people to hear the message that Jesus has been sharing. To hear the teachings of Jesus, they're packed in this room, in this house. And there's a guy over here that's probably been sitting on the corner, maybe sitting outside the synagogue for years. He's paralyzed. And he's been paralyzed, we don't know how long, maybe all his life. And they hear Jesus in town, and he's got some friends. I wonder, did his friends come and say, hey, Jesus is here, let us take you to see Jesus? Or did he say, hey, I need some friends, can you carry me to Jesus? I don't know how that happened. But he has these four friends that say, we're going to take you to Jesus. So they pick up a stretcher, and they're carrying this guy to see Jesus. And I kind of wonder what it must have been like. Here are these guys, they all got a handle on this stretcher, and they're walking down the street, and they turn the corner to head towards the house, and they look down the street, and it's impossible to get in. It's like, what do we do now? I mean, you know, here's this house. They look down the street, and it's packed. They can't get through the door. They can't get close to Jesus. You know, maybe they're thinking like it was with that one woman that just wanted to touch Jesus' garment and was healed. Remember that one? That's a story in the Bible. Yeah. You know, but they want to get there, and yet they can't get close to Jesus. And I kind of wonder what went through their mind, and maybe what went through his mind. Like, maybe his hopes were elated. Maybe he was getting excited. His friends are taking him to see Jesus. He's got a chance to be healed. He's got a chance to walk. And maybe there's excitement in it. And all of a sudden they turn the corner. And can you imagine him looking up and seeing the house? And it's like, oh. Or maybe his friends, you know, they're carrying that stretcher. And they turn that corner. And there's that house. And it's like, oh. You know, do they get discouraged? Do they want to give up? But it's kind of interesting. You read a book, it just says they just kept going. They went to the house, and if you're familiar with those kind of houses, they had flat roofs. And some of them had stairs going up. And so I see these guys walking to the house, and they walk up, and they walk up the stairs on the side of the house. They walk up to the roof, and they begin to tear the roof up. If it was Peter's house, I wonder what Peter's thinking. You know, it's like, oh, wow, now I got a lot of repair work to do. Yeah. And they tear that roof up. And these four guys lower their friend. And I kind of thought about this. You know, here they turn that corner, they see that house, and it's like a simple act. We're just going to carry him. Just a simple act. All of a sudden, it's complicated. Just a simple thing. We're just going to do this easy thing. You know, it's not hard. Pick up a stretcher. Let's just go. Man, we can do this. 5 minutes, it's done. And they turn the corner, and now they're tearing the roof up. Hope they brought their gloves, you know, and tearing all this stuff apart. And I wonder what the people inside are thinking. And they lower the man down in front of Jesus. And I thought, you know, my mind, I'm this analytical guy. It's like, how'd they get right in front of Jesus? I mean, did they look in the window or have somebody, hey, a little over this way, a little over that way, yeah? That's my mind. You know, I kind of wonder about those things, but I don't know how they did it, that they, well, God can do anything. They lowered him down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus says these words. Yeah, I hope you got your outline out. Let me encourage you to get your outline out. Look at what he says here. And when Jesus saw their faith, I'm going to come back to that, but notice that. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. He's looking up there through the roof, four guys peeking down through the hole. The guy there before him, he looks up at those guys and said, your faith will change this man's life. I thought about that. I thought about that. Now, see, they had a different belief, and maybe some of you believe this. Maybe I was joking with one of our members just the other day. It's like everything's going wrong. Anybody ever had everything go wrong? It just seems, nothing seems to go right. Anybody been in those boats before? You know, it's just everything's going wrong. And it's like, God, what did I do? Anybody ever think that besides me? You know, God, what did I do? But I know, and I want to make sure you know, that's not true, all right? That's not the way it works, but sometimes we think that, at least I do. It's like, what did I mess up now, God? You know? And we see this going on, but that was the common belief back then, that this guy is paralyzed because he is a sinner. If it's not his fault, it's his mom and dad's fault. Or his grandparents' fault. Somebody did something that this guy is cursed and he's paralyzed. That's what Jesus was dealing with there. But what Jesus is saying is this. The faith of those others who walked the man down the street, who managed to get that man up on the roof. I mean, think about it. Who managed to tear the roof up and lower this guy down. Their faith made a difference in that man. Now, do you get my point? My point is this. Your good deeds, my good deeds, can make a difference in my family's faith, in my brother's faith, in my mom's faith, my dad's faith, make a difference in my neighbor's faith, make a difference in that prodigal son that just ran off, make a difference in his faith. See, our faith has an impact. That little act of kindness can make a difference. Well, just so you know, this really upset the Pharisees, you know, the ones who taught that's, you know, this really ticked them off. Listen what they said. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. Now, just a little side note, I'm going to stop right there. Here's these guys that didn't like Jesus had filled that house up. See, I want to tell you, good deeds draw people, don't they? These guys don't like Jesus. These guys don't care less about Jesus. They don't think he's God's son. And yet they're there because of good deeds. Catch that later. Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Is that a true statement? Who's the only one that can forgive sins? God. They're right. Yeah. But they don't acknowledge Jesus being God's son. See, he's wrestling this. How can I prove my faith? How can I prove what I say is true? That's what they're challenging Jesus with. How do I prove the truth? How do I prove that Jesus is God's son, the son of the living God, that he's the Christ, that he's the Messiah? How do I prove that? That's what they're saying. Look at what Jesus says. And immediately Jesus, perceiving, See, they hadn't said anything. Jesus perceived it. He could see it in their face. You can't believe what you can see in your face when I'm up here preaching. I'm going to keep going. In his spirit, that they thus questioned within themselves, said to him, them, why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take your bed, and walk? But, now listen to this, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth for forgiveness of sins, he said to the paralyzed, I say, just rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. I circled those words, that you may know. Here's the proof, the truth. I am the Son of the living God. I am born of a virgin. The proof is the good deeds. Do you see that? See, that's what I want to challenge us with as Christians. The proof of our faith is not our righteous walk, because you know what? The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. See, we want our walk to show, look at me, I'm a Christian, I'm doing the right things, I'm saying the right things. We try to make that our testimony. When I believe our testimony needs to be good deeds. What do you guys think? What has the greatest impact? What's going to turn people's attention to Jesus? What's going to call people to a relationship with God? Is it because I have all the right answers? And I try to live the right lifestyle, which I cannot, because somebody wants to point out my failures. It's not going to take them long to find them. Anybody on that board? Yeah. But when you do those good things, walls come down. Is that true? Doors open up. Things happen when we do good things. See, he's saying, you want the proof of your faith. You want people to know that you are a child of God. Then do the good things. Do those good deeds. I put a list here. I went on Google. Anybody ever do Google? Is it just me? I went on Google, and I just found all sorts of things here. Just as well done beats well said. Do you often think about doing good deeds throughout your day? 10 good deed ideas. I like this one. Offer an unexpected smile. Can anybody do that one? Turn your frown upside down. How's that go? Smile. Give a compliment. Anybody like that one? These things don't cost you anything, do they? Recycle what you can. I like that one. Spare some change. Let someone go first. Anybody ever go to the store? Don't you like it? You got one thing, the guy in front of you, you got a whole cart full. Come on, just let me go. Anybody, I mean, come on, you go to Costco and you know they got that. You know, they got the whole store on that thing. And you got a loaf of bread, you know, tortillas. There you go. You know, we needed tortillas. We're going to make some tacos. And, you know, it's like, ah, come on. I got just let me slip through, you know. Just anybody? Well, can you do that? Let's see. Help someone getting bullied. Ooh, that's a good one. Give your pet some extra love. I don't know. No. It's dogs, okay. Cats. Hold that door or elevator. Spread the word. Oh, crud. Have patience with stressful people. I should have read that more before I told you that one. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, we look at good deeds and we think, well, I got to go out of my way. I just don't have time. I don't have the resources. We have all these excuses. Anybody? Anybody? We have all these excuses. How hard is it to smile? You know, I walk. Everybody knows I walk up and down because I walk. My house is right over here. And Laura and I commute. We have a hard commute to work, man. Yeah. We walk out the front door. We lock the door. We kind of walk around. I walk right through the school lot right there saying hi to the teachers. And some of the kids talk to me and Laura and I. And I walk right through the office, tell hi to the secretaries, and walk right over here. Man, that's 5 minutes is rough. But you know what? I smile. You ever see some people smile? You ever see people in the car? Pull up to a stop sign. Anybody ever seen those people at a stop sign? You look at the, you know, smile. How much difference can a smile? What's it going to cost you? You know, brush your teeth first, okay? Yeah. But I'm saying, yeah, good deeds. We don't have to get so complicated with good deeds. I thought about those guys, you know. Easy, man. Yeah, we'll carry you. Come on, let's go, guy. Hey, come over here, Joe, John, let's go. You know, and they, you know, and they turn the corner. It's like, oh, no, forget it. You know? See, it can get complicated, but we need to do it. But I want to tell you, good deeds do accomplish some things. There's some things here I wanted you to pick out, and I want to pick out for you real quick. So here's this first one. If you're looking at your outline here, good deeds genuinely benefit others. Good deeds genuinely benefit others. See, our actions make a difference. You might not think it has an impact. I mean, I thought about that. What's the big deal carrying that guy? Yeah, unless he was a 400-pound dude, that might be a problem. Yeah, but what's the problem? I mean, yeah, but it makes a difference. Those little things can make a difference. You know, and so we need to think about that, and we need to see those differences. And, you know, Jesus healed the lame. The blind could see. The oppressed found forgiveness. The hungry were fed. You know, he did things, and we can too. I'm going to tell you something. You want to clothe? You want to feed the hungry? You want to help the homeless? I'm going to give you a real simple thing. Go down to the gospel mission. Did you hear me? We go down there once a month. But go down there, you know, they need people down there teaching. One of our members used to teach Bible studies for women down there. Simple acts. Simple things. We collected backpacks to help some families. And like I said, when I get calls, I get teachers, I get others telling me, thank you, this family just moved here, and we had to help them find a place to live, and we had backpacks to go, thanks to you guys. That's what they said. Yeah. We're getting ready for Christmas, child. Yeah. We can make a difference. There's things we can do. Yeah. What about that emotion? What about visiting the sick? What about visiting the lonely? You know, when I first came, there were several ladies in this church that were well into their 80s and 90s. I think about Mrs. Bonds, and Martha remembers Mrs. Bonds, and Mrs. Kessler. And I'd go see Mrs. Kessler. She was over here by the park, and she had a great big dog. And the dog always sat between us. And every time I visited, and I'd sit there, and I'd almost fall asleep in her chair. It was nice and warm, and I'm sitting there. I almost fall asleep. But I tried to go see her. Nobody, you know, she was 90 years old. Her husband had passed away. There was nobody coming. Maybe the next door neighbor would come over and visit her. It was the one that was coming over. And I'd go visit her, and I'd almost fall asleep. The funny part was, I was gone to the pastor's retreat, and her dog passed away. And I was gone, so somebody had to take care of the dog. Laura! So Laura and Buster, Martha said, I had to go over and take care of her dog and take her dog away. You know? But I think about Mrs. Bonds over here that lived down here on the road. Just, what about visiting some of those? You know, we got a convalescent homes over here. You know, I love some of our home groups, adopt them for Christmas and take some gifts and give socks to Anderson Care Center, to the men that are there. And you know, there's things, you know, what about, I don't know about you guys, but anybody ever get depressed? Isn't it fun to have somebody call you when you're just feeling down? Maybe you see somebody on Sunday morning and you just tell that they're just not having a good time right now. Pick the phone up on Monday and give them a call. You can make a difference. You can make things different. Look at what it says here. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Now, we've had another saying. This really fits with that other saying I've been trying to instill in us as a church. And you will recognize this. Every member in the church needs to have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Isn't that what that verse says here? Always seek to do good to one another, your believers in the church, and to everyone, and a mission in the world. See, we need to see that we can make a difference. I want to tell you something. You can make a difference. You can. You can make the difference in somebody's life. Just like these four guys, because of their faith, made a difference in this man. You can make a difference. Second thing I put down here, good deeds glorify God. Good deeds glorify, good deeds glorify God's character. It's his nature. God is a loving God. Everybody agree? God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. God is a compassionate God. How do we know that? Because of his good deeds. And we can do the same thing. See, our good deeds bring God glory. It's not about us. It's not about, get me a pat on the back. Hey, Gary, you did such a wonderful job. Now, that feels good, and I like that. But that's not the purpose of it. You know, it's to point God in the right direction. Their faith brought glory to God. Did you see that? It was their faith that brought glory to God, and we need to see that. We need to be a part of that to see what God does. And it brings joy, and it brings peace, and it brings things in our life, too. But it gives God the glory. It brings praise to God. That's one thing when I see people, you know, I grew up during the time of faith healers. They were really popular back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Anybody remember faith healers? But nobody's kind of... Anybody here with me? All right, all right. You know, I remember faith healers, you know, and who got the glory? Who got the praise? You know, it's about God, not us, you know. That's one thing. Just so you know, I don't want my name on anything in this church. You see the sign out there? Is my name on that? No. I don't want my name on anything because my name means nothing. If you walk in and said, hey, I knew Gary Duke, God's going to go, I know him too. It ain't going to buy you anything. I know Jesus. That's the ticket. See, we want to bring God glory. We want to bring God praise. Look at what it says here. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you're doing wrong. Live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will glory and give glory to God on the day when Christ comes again. It's about God's glory. See, they might not know, you know, I could say all I want, but what they're going to glorify God with is my good deeds. Look at the next one here. Good deeds validate the good news. You want proof? You want to see the proof of my faith? It's in my good deeds. Look at what it says. If I don't do what my Father does, then don't believe me. But if I do what my Father does, even though you don't believe in me, even though they don't believe what he's saying is what he's saying there, believe what I do, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. He's saying, you don't have to believe my words. Look at my actions. Does that make good sense? Do we have an old saying that goes, actions speak louder than words? Yeah, you guys knew that one, didn't you? Yeah. And that's what he's saying here. See, our actions will validate my faith. See, for too long, I think the church has said my righteousness validates my faith. And the problem is our righteousness are filthy rags. And none of us are perfect. So when we fall, when we say our righteousness is my testimony, when we say my righteousness is what validates my faith, when I am not righteous, what does that say about my faith? But when I admit I'm not a perfect person, but that I do good deeds to bring glory to God, what does that say about my faith? Do you see the difference? See, and we want to validate our faith with those good deeds, those little acts of kindness, those little acts, those simple things that we can do that make a difference in somebody's life. And we need to see that in our lives, and we need to share that in our lives. And I just want to challenge us with that. You want to prove your faith? Prove it by your actions. Not by your righteousness, because I'm going to tell you, you might be righteous today because you're in church and you're doing really well, but if you're like me, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go out and have lunch today. I already told Laura I want to go to Taco Bell. You know? So I'm going to go to Taco Bell after church and then I'm going to go to Home Depot. My faith might need some checking up on with the drivers out there besides me. You know what I'm saying? So if it's by my righteousness, I'm in trouble. Some of you have rode with me, and you know what it's like. Yeah. It's not right. I still got to do better. I need to do better. I pray to do better. I turn the Christian radio on. I pray before I get in the car. Okay, God. Yeah. It's a battle. But that good deeds can show my faith better than my righteousness. And we need to see that. Look at the next one. Good deeds move people towards Jesus. Good deeds move people towards Jesus. Just kind of set this up here. Jesus, again, around the Sea of Galilee is where he was at, still at Capernaum, but he's around the Sea of Galilee. He'd been baptized by John the Baptist, went back up to Nazareth. He's down by the Sea of Galilee, and he's picking some disciples. Anybody familiar with this? Goes by, a couple of guys fishing. You know, Peter and Andrew, remember? James and John, a couple of fishermen. He pulls them out. So they start following him, right? So here he is teaching them. They're learners. They're followers. And they're following Jesus. But I like this here. He does his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, okay? Anybody remember that first miracle? Turn the water to wine. And here's what happened. Look at this. So in Cana of Galilee, Jesus did his first miracle. There he showed his glory. Now listen. And his followers believed in him. See, I think his disciples were following him. They were hearing him. They heard his teaching. But when they seen that miracle, it was time to cross that line. Do you get the picture? It validated. It pulled them toward Jesus. It showed them that Jesus was not just another prophet. He wasn't just another Isaiah, another Jeremiah. He was different than those prophets. He was the Son of the living God. And when they seen that miracle, it just pulled them toward Jesus. And that's what I want us to think about in your life. That do you have loved ones that need Jesus? That you know what? Your good deeds can pull them towards Jesus. Think about it. You got a prodigal son or a daughter. You got a neighbor. You got a friend. You got a fellow student. You got a coworker. That little act of kindness can pull them towards Jesus. It was a turning point for the disciples. They had heard his teachings, but now they seen the good deed. They seen the miracle, and it made a difference. And I want to challenge us, and I want to challenge you, that those good deeds can pull somebody closer to God. See, we think arguments are going to do it. I'm going to tell you, I don't know anybody, I've never heard this, and I've witnessed a lot, okay? And I've had lots of people accept God. Nobody has sat there and told me, Gary, you destroyed that last argument of mine, now I'm going to believe. I've never heard that. I can have all that apologetics. I can show, you need to know, I believe what the Bible says. God created. I told you that. Born of a virgin. I believe that. I believe everything this says. Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by fire and brimstone. I believe that. Jericho walls fall down. This guy's marching around it. I believe that. I didn't even show you some of that through archaeology. They showed some of that to be true. But that's not going to make people cross that line. It's those small acts of kindness. See, that just pulls them in. That just pulls them toward God. And so I want to challenge us. You want to create some curiosity? You know that person that's the meanest person to you? The person that aggravates you the most? The person that ticks you off the most? The person that you've had it up to here? You want to change something there? Do a simple act of kindness for them and see what God does. Just see what God, when they know you don't like them and all of a sudden you change, what does that tell them? You know that person that just pushes your button? They just rub you the wrong way. Anybody got some of those? Hope they're not sitting next to you, but how do you move people towards Jesus with simple acts of kindness? The last one I put here is good deeds create goodwill. Good deeds create goodwill. When you do something good, it opens the doors. Oh, people open their heart. Nobody's ever done anything like this for me. I've heard that. I can remember we've done things here in town for families with Thanksgiving boxes and giving food away at Thanksgiving and giving food away at Christmas. And not only that, we've given beds and we've done all sorts of things. And one day I was in, before they redid our gas station down there, I was inside the gas station and the lady's ringing me up, and that's when I was drinking a lot of soda. And she's ringing me up and she goes, "Do you know who I am?" I go, "No." She goes, "You don't remember me?" I go, "No." She goes, "When my husband had lost his job, Christmas about 4 years ago, you guys brought food and some clothing and some gifts, and I forget what all we did, but she remembered. And she still had an impact on her life." See, simple acts of kindness make a difference. It changes people's lives. I want to encourage you. Prove your faith, not by your righteousness, but by your good deeds. See, That's what good deeds accomplish. I'm going to tell you right here, it says what good deeds do not accomplish. You know, there's some things good deeds can't do. Yeah. There's things, you know, good deeds build a bridge to God. Good deeds open the door to God. But you know what? Somebody has to share the good news. Somebody's got to tell them about God. I'm going to have Bud. Bud's going to come up. And I'm going to have Bud share something. I think this one's your mic, isn't it, Bud? Well, you're going to get a mic. Come on up here.
Several months ago, I had the occasion to answer a call to the hospital. My cousin Bruce was in the hospital, and he was facing open heart surgery, emergency open heart surgery. On the eve of his surgery, he asked me to come. So I went to the hospital, and when I walked in, everybody was downfaced. See fear in Bruce's eyes. And so I sat on the bed and I said to him, you know, Bruce, there's not going to be any pain. And he looked totally relieved when I said that. I said, you won't have any pain. It's not a cakewalk, but you won't have any pain. But I do want you to repeat these words after me. And I knew he had come years before, but he hadn't been walking with the Lord, and so I asked him, you know, I asked him to repeat after me, and he did. He says, I don't want to do it my way, I want to do it your way, just come into my life and take control, and he did, and at that point, I felt he was
That's okay.
Okay. Anyway, he rejuvenated. And so it was a God thing. I know it was a God thing because he went into a surgery the next morning. And it was a long surgery. He was a big man. He was 300 pounds. And it was an emergency surgery. And the doctors had a tough time. They finally finished the job. Go back in. And can you imagine the odds of going through that again and living? I know God was with him. And after he's here today.
Amen. Thank you, Bud. I appreciate it. Somebody's got to say some words. Somebody has to tell the good news. Your good deeds set the stage. Your good deeds open the door. Your good deeds, going to the hospital, being there at the right moment at the right time. But somebody has to say the words. And I've made it as simple as I can for you. I love it when Bud told me that because I love that people know what I say week in and week out. You guys know what I mean, right? You know, there's an invisible line. And there's this invisible line that you got to cross. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about doing everything right. It's not about being a good person. But there's this invisible line that you got to reach a point in your life where you say something along these lines. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what salvation's all about. You know, it's not about being good because my goodness doesn't make it. You guys know me too well. You know, it's not about getting baptized or any of that. It's that invisible line that you just got to cross it. I always knew at 17, I've showed you guys, I always knew before I was 17 years old, I knew there was God, never doubted. This was God's word, never doubted. But it wasn't until I was 17 when I had to cross that line and my cousin shared with me. How many can name the person who shared with you that good news, you know, that just comes to your mind? My cousin Linda is one that was that person for me. Who was that person for you? So I want to ask you this. Who are you going to be that person for? You know, who are you going to be that person for? Do those good deeds, but somebody has to speak the words. I put it this way. Good deeds cannot lead a person to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It can set the stage. It can create the opportunity. It can pave the way. But somewhere along the line, someone has to say something. Someone has to say the words. Look at what it says here, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. The Jews first, and also the Gentiles. It is the good news. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for everyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called on everybody. He's calling. But somebody has to say something. I like this passage right here, because maybe it's for me. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? All right, that's me. Now, I don't say preach to them, but I'm going to tell them the good news. Tell people Jesus loves them. I've shared with you, it's been amazing to me over the last few months when I hear everybody say, you know, well, we can't say this and we can't say that. How easy it is people are asking questions at Disneyland, at my house with AT&T, at the AT&T store. They're open to that, to the message. They really want to hear it. I'm going to tell you, those coworkers that are around you and see you different than everybody else and know that you're not like everybody else, they want to know why. They see it, they just don't know why. See, that's my testimony. When I was 17 years old, I was invited to car washes by a youth group. My cousins, my grandmother's church. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't drinking or partying. I wasn't on drugs. That wasn't my lifestyle. I've always been a control freak. I was even a control freak at 17. That wasn't my lifestyle. But I started hanging around with these youth. Washing cars. We're raising money to go to a church camp. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I couldn't explain, there was something different about them than everybody else I knew. I had no idea what it was. But I knew there was something different about my cousins and about the friends and about those other kids at that youth group. There was just something, I didn't know what it was. They visited me. They invited me. They were doing good deeds. We were having fun. But somebody, my cousin Linda, had to share the good news. I've told you the story. If you haven't heard it, we're sitting there Sunday night after church. We're playing spoons. We're playing games. And all of a sudden around the table, we stop at McDonald's and get hamburgers on the way home from church. And we're sitting there playing games. And then all of a sudden, everybody leaves but my cousin Linda. I was set up. They all had a plan. They all knew what they were doing. It wasn't a spare of a moment thing. They had set me up to tell me the good news. And that Sunday night, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. My cousin Linda, she's still a special person to me. But somebody, I seen it in their lives. I knew there was something different. I didn't know what it was. You know, I was dragged to church. Church was for the nerds. Church was for the sissies. They didn't know how to string those good words together like I did. Yeah. But my cousin, she's special to me. I still talk about Linda more than any of my other cousins. I got some great cousins. They were raised in church. Yeah. I got to do their father's funeral. I love their father. He was a deacon in the church, and I could just go on with stories. But I want to tell you, are you that person? Who will you be that person for? Who are you going to? I'm going to say it. Who are you going to set up? You got to be intentional about it. It doesn't happen by accident. Well, I hope I get to. We'll have to wait and set it up. Make it happen. Do it with good deeds. You set it all up with those good deeds. It opens the door. It drops down barriers. It gives you curiosity. And when you share the good news, lives are changed. You can make a difference. I want to challenge, truth is proved by our good deeds. So I put it this way at the bottom of your page. Good news and good deeds. All right? It's not good enough to have good news. All right? Good news, don't get it done. That's apologetics. That's philosophy. I could tell you all about Moses and Jesus and good news. But you need the good deeds. Not or, but and. And I want to challenge you with that. As we do our servolution, I'm going to encourage you to serve. You never know who sees you. You never know. Yesterday we were walking around and we're over across the street. They're having their annual hall sale. Anybody remember the hall sale across the street? So we're walking through there and one of the ladies walks up to me and goes, "Was that you the other day at the on-ramp at 99? It's like, yeah, that was me that Saturday. I was picking garbage up on 99. They see you. You don't even know what they see. Do you know that? I had no idea that people, You just don't know. I want to challenge you. You don't know the impact you're going to have. But you got to say the words. And you got to do the good deeds. I challenge you with that. Before I close this message, you see a verse right there, right? Right? Now, I can quote all the other verses. You ready? Here they are. Mark 10:45, Ephesians 2:10, and 1 Peter 4:10. See, I quoted all of them. Does that count? Ah, man, I hope I could get away with it. Let's do this verse, all right? I'll set you up. You got a group this week. Some of you get like a couple of hours to get this one down, all right? Others got it tomorrow night. We got some expectations. Let's do this verse together. Again, we quote the reference, we quote the verse, we end with the reference. Are you ready? James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself is dead if it doesn't cause you to do any good things. James 2:17. All right, another good verse to memorize. Store these in your heart. Memorize. Make a difference with your good deeds. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Do something good this week to somebody. And see what God can do with it. You'll be amazed. Because I want to tell you something. God has a place for you. And right where you're at, He wants to use you. We always think, well, tomorrow or the next day, if this was this or that was that. Use this week to let God use you in a special way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. That You're the great and mighty God who is compassionate, who's graceful, who's full of mercy, abounding in love. And that character is seen in the good deeds that You have done. I pray for us, Lord, that the world will see us not arguing for our faith, but living our faith through good deeds. That they'll see something different in us. That they'll see You in us. And not bring a point of us, but bring the glory to Your name. I just pray for each and every one that is here, Lord, that their lives will shine for You. And in the midst of those lives shining, that at the right time, at the right place, You will give them the words to share the good news. That someone may cross that line and say, I believe, I believe. Use us this week to accomplish Your will in our lives, maybe in our home, maybe in our schools, maybe in our neighborhood, maybe right in our family, Lord. Use us to make a difference in someone's life. In Jesus' name, amen.